It's good to see each one of you this morning. Turn your Bibles, will, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Been preaching a series of messages on the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is faith in the Scripture. We generally look at it and consider it about faith and trust and rest and hope. And is our faith and trust and rest and hope towards our Lord Jesus Christ? And there's much of that in the Scripture. But when we also see about faith in the Scripture, we also see about the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that Christ is believing in anyone, but he is full of fidelity. He is faithful in that which the Lord, the Father, has given him to do and accomplish. In every whit, in every way, our Lord, the God the Son, having come down to earth and become a man, as he was faced with the mission and the purpose that God Almighty had given him as a man, at every point, he's been faithful in what the Father, what God has given him to do. Kind of hard for us to wrap our minds around the fact that Jesus is God, and yet he is subject to God as a man. But he is. It's all there rolled up. We see that in the Scriptures. And so in our consideration, we've looked in the book of Romans and the book of Philippians, and last time in the book of Galatians. This morning we're heading towards Ephesians, but let us read this passage here in Hebrews 12. In verse number 1 it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him." And that's what we're doing here in these messages. We're taking a look at Jesus. We're considering him and how he operated in his ministry in the day that he was here upon the earth. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Verse 3, "For consider him that endured." Our Lord Jesus, he was never thwarted or never dissuaded from the mission and the purpose that he'd been given by God Almighty to accomplish. Even though all the world stood against the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't quit. He didn't change track. He didn't go with plan B or C. He was faithful in every whit. He yet is. He yet is faithful and is not turned away from what the Father has given him. We see this admonition in this passage, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, the Creator, the King of glory, having come down amongst his creation to do a wonderful thing for his creation. And yet he was rejected by his own nation and by the world and by wickedness, sin, man, and his depravity. He says here, "Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." We're going to face, as the children of God, opposition. Whenever the good work of God is being pursued and done, there's going to be opposition to it. Consider Jesus. He was always faithful in every way and every whit. We come to Ephesians chapter 3. In this book of Ephesians, it's an interesting book, and writing to the church there at Ephesus in Asia Minor, there to the west, coming near to the Aegean Sea. And I want to point out a couple of verses here that seem to be theme verses in this book. In Ephesians chapter 1, we see here in verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." That's the theme of this book, is this blessing, the great expanse of blessing of our Lord upon his people. We take a look over here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13. This is could be considered indeed another theme verse of this book. He tells here about the giving of the apostles and the prophets and those leaders and teachers in the Lord's churches over the course of time, starting with the apostles and now down to this day, and pastors and teachers and such. It says in verse number 13 of Ephesians 4 that this is done for this work, perfecting work and edifying, found in verse number 12, till we all come, verse 13, in the unity of the faith. There's unity that is the goal, oneness that is the goal and the aim of the Lord's work in our day. And it's the culminating and coming together of his plan that's been meted out and manifested in time. And here you and I are living in it in this church age. Do we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, a mature man, under the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ? Every way that Christ is what you and I are supposed to be. And that's our aim, and that's our goal. That's our pursuit in our Lord. In considering about the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to focus upon chapter 3 this morning. The verse that we're heading to here is verse number 12. This is our focus as we consider this chapter. In Ephesians 3:12, it says, the scripture says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. It's not talking about our faith in Christ there. It's talking about the Lord's faithfulness, his fidelity, what he's done and what he's accomplished for our sakes, what he's done and accomplished in obedience to the Father, and how right on time, every time, faithful and true the Lord Jesus Christ is. In this book, the apostle is writing to this church at Ephesus, and he's rejoicing in the Lord's work and having saved them and made and put together one of his churches there in this city of Ephesus, a wicked city, a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, as the scripture says. These are pagans that have been changed and turned. And the apostle is making it very clear that these blessings that the Lord has given are spiritual indeed, and they are heavenly, and they are found in Christ. He talks about the calling of the Lord and the working of the Lord on his children's behalf from even before time. He talks about how the Lord works in time to the calling of sinners by his gospel and sealing them after they believe, in verse number 13 of chapter 1, with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a definition of salvation, is the Holy Spirit of God living within you, within the sinner. The Spirit is our earnest that we have. It's an earnest of the inheritance that's coming. What the Lord has done in this time of Christ having come and in this church age, as we understand it, he's revealed the fullness of the Lord unto mankind. It was always his purpose and his plan. The law was necessary. Brother Doug has touched upon that this morning. I just rejoice how the Lord blessed with he dealing with the law of love in the Sunday school class. And come to Sunday school. There's blessings there. There's a word of God there. The Lord has always been this way. He's never changed. But you know what? He's taken time with mankind to reveal his working. And the love of the Lord is manifested unto us in a great way. There's the revelation, verse number 17 of chapter 1, in the knowledge of him. Our Lord's greatest gift unto us is that he's given himself unto us. He's given us himself. Not silver, not gold, not lands. Our Lord's given himself unto us. He says here in verse 18 of chapter 1, there's a desire that the eyes of understanding be enlightened, be open. We understand about what God has done and is doing. His great power shown. Chapter 2, he tells about more about the detail, how he works within sinners. And how he calls and how he works, how sorry and bad off we are in and of ourselves, dead. That's what the Lord told Adam that he would be. He would be dead in the day that he ate of that fruit. And we all died. We all died in him. talks about us being his workmanship. You know, God is interested in this world and in mankind and is working amongst the inhabitants of the earth. He talks in verse number 11 of chapter 2 about as Gentiles, how far away we were from God, separated even from his nation, separated from his word. The state of Gentiles is sorry indeed. Verse number 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Yeah, that even a Gentile could be saved. He's our peace. And look at this. For he is our peace, verse 14 of chapter 2, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us and his nation, his people. It's broken down. What's it say in verse number 15? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the hatred between the Jew and the Gentile. The Lord's always, the Lord's plan and purpose and work is to deal with sinners and to call sinners to repentance. There's reconciliation there in verse number 16 of chapter 2. And there's this mention of his one body. We have this blessing of not only being saved, but being a member of one of his churches. And the work that the Lord's doing here upon this earth until our Lord Jesus Christ comes. Verse number 19, he speaks about the household of God. Yes, a Jew can be saved and a Gentile can be saved. And you know what? They can be part of the same house by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, a member of one of his churches. That's what the Lord had done there in Ephesus. It's built, these churches are built, that first church, it says, our Lord Jesus built it, left it there in Jerusalem. And it says in verse 20 of chapter 2, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. They were the first leadership there in the church that the Lord left there in Jerusalem. They were there for that transition time. They were there to be shown the things that were necessary for the continuance of the Lord's churches, the building of other churches. In whom, verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Yeah, our Lord Jesus, our God Almighty, he dwells here among us. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about we who are members here of Olmsted Baptist Church. Our Lord dwells in us and among us. Isn't that a marvelous thing? We come to chapter 3, and the scripture says, for this cause, and it was necessary for us to review these things, because of this, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, speaking to those at Ephesus, if ye have heard of the dispensation, the stewardship, that's what that word dispensation is speaking of, the Apostle Paul was given a charge, a calling by the Lord, an admonition of what he was to pursue. He said, I've got a responsibility to you all. If you've heard of the responsibility, the dispensation, the stewardship of the grace, the favor of God, which is given to me, given me to you, Word, you know about that. You that were there and saved at the time that I came to Ephesus and preached the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that calling that I have from God. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Hold your place here and let's just take a look quickly at a summary about this mystery. It's summarized here greatly in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. You know, it's a mystery. It's a mystery that needs to be revealed. And I tell you what, it's a wondrous thing what the Lord has done for sinners. He writes to Brother Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. And he's not talking about the building. Although when we meet together, we are to be well behaved, as we are always be well behaved. But he's talking about this operation in the church, this building that he's fitly joined us together in here at Olmsted Baptist Church, other churches throughout the world. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Yes, our Lord became a man. Our Lord became a man. Our Lord Jesus became a man so he could die, because God can't die. He became a man so he could bleed and have blood to offer as a sacrifice for his people's sins. He became a man so he could be a witness and of the truth of God's law, that it is holy and just, and that we need someone to do that for us because we can't do it ourselves. And our Lord Jesus, he kept the law of God perfectly. He was faithful in every point, tempted like you and me, but without sin. And by the power and the greatness and the work of God, the operation of God, our Lord Jesus is able to take our sins upon him. And he's able to take his righteousness and fulfilling the law of God and put it upon the sinner. I tell you what, I just cannot get over that of imputation. Can you? I tell you, I rejoice in it. Aren't you glad for it? That you can have righteousness that God will accept. It's not our own. It's the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, it was a great mystery. God had purposed to do it from eternity past. But we live in the day that it's been revealed. Brother Doug brought that out in Sunday school class, how the faith of the saints and millennia gone by, you know, they had so little compared to what you and I have revealed to us in the Word of God and in this church age and being on this side of Jesus having come. They believed, they trusted and rested in our Lord. Look how much we have, though, that's given unto us. We should be thrilled. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He was revealed, justified in the Spirit of God worked there too. Our Lord Jesus, as a man, was filled with the Spirit of God. He never sinned, never has sinned, not even the thought of sin. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. You see there the mystery? He was preached in the law and the prophets and all that to Israel, the nation who was there and received the oracle of God. But praise God, the Lord took it and brought it even to us, that we could be saved. What's it say? Preached unto the Gentiles, and you know what? Believed on in the world. Believed on even by Gentiles. Estranged, far up, far away from the Lord. And what's it say here? Received up into glory. It's the mystery of godliness that God became a man and would be a Savior for even the likes of us, we Gentiles. It's a glorious mystery, isn't it? Paul writes here to Ephesus in chapter 3, and he says, this revelation, this mystery has been made known unto me, the mystery. He said, I've wrote to you, wrote a four in few words, verse number 4 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. We read that summary over there in 1 Timothy 3, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit of God working in them and revealing such. This is a wonderful passage to consider here too. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, Old Testament, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the upholding of all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, Jesus came. And all this that we see in the New Testament scriptures is Jesus speaking to us and the mystery of God being revealed even more. Back in Ephesians 3, verse number 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, and that is the work of Jesus, his men, being filled as it were, us having the scripture, that the Gentiles, verse 6, should be fellow heirs and of the same body. That fellow heirs, he's talking about the Lord saves Jews. He saves them by repentance and faith. And you know what? He saves Gentiles by repentance and faith too. Fellow heirs. There's not that middle wall of partition between. There's not that hatred and enmity between anymore. The Lord has brought the mystery forth. See, if you were a Chaldean in the day of the nation of Israel, how could you ever know and find out about God? Well, the Lord could bring the word to you, and he brought the word to many. We've talked here recently about Naaman, the Syrian, and the Lord brought the word to him, didn't he? But you know what? In that day, the word, the oracle of God, the working of God was mostly to his nation, and the world looked on. But now it's been revealed to all. It's been made accessible from the human standpoint to all. And even this of the Lord's church, there's not Jewish churches and Gentile churches. There's the Lord's churches, the Lord's body. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. It's to all. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Paul says, I'm a minister of this, to proclaim this. He's amazed that he is used by the Lord to declare this and promote this and to tell this unto Gentiles. A Jew's tendency would be to go to his own. And he writes in Romans that he's got a zeal for his own brethren. But the Lord called him, and he says it's a blessing to go unto the non-Jews and to preach to them. And he rejoices in it. The mystery of God being revealed, that this is of the Lord. See, this isn't something that Paul decided to do that was a good idea. But this was what Paul was called to do by the Lord. The Lord's idea. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift, he calls it a gift, of the grace, the favor of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. He was convicted to go and do this. And we see and understand, if you read much at all in the epistles to the churches, and it's there even in Acts, you see about the trial and the tribulation and the hardship that the Apostle Paul dealt with and faced. And he says, I do it all for the elect's sake, for the Lord's people, for those that will come and hear and believe and the Spirit will work within. I give of myself. He manifested that he loves them, didn't he, Brother Doug? He gave of himself for their sakes, and he rejoices in it. Given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Verse 8, unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace, this favor given. You know, the Apostle Paul doesn't refer to his call to be a minister and to suffer for Christ for the sake of bringing the truth of his gospel into others. He doesn't call it a burden. He calls it a gift. He calls it a favor of the Lord. The Lord has blessed me to be used this way. The brother mentioned this morning about our Lord Jesus. Was the Lord Jesus, do you ever expect selfishness out of the Lord Jesus? It's not one of his attributes, is it? He was selfless. selfless. And he is indeed our example. The Lord Jesus said it. You want to preserve your life, lose it for his sake in the Gospels. You want to lose your life, you keep it all wadded up for yourself. And you'll surely lose it. But you and I will give our life for the sake of the Lord and for his gospel. I tell you what, we'll find it. That's what Jesus did. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace, this favor given to be called this way, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, the mystery being opened up and revealed, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. We've got the mystery. We read about it over there in 1 Timothy 3, about Jesus, about God coming in the flesh, being justified by the Spirit, preached unto the Gentiles and seen of angels and believed on in the world. There's a fellowship. There's a communion. You know that the Lord saves sinners to make them his children? It's one of the things that the Lord does when he saves a sinner is he adopts them. Adoption. Jesus being the only begotten Son, I love this. I tell you what, it's been a blessing since the Lord showed us this. The Lord Jesus, by adoption, becomes my elder brother. Loves me. I mean, that's belonging. A nation, a kingdom, would have a king and have their subjects, and there would be reverence. And what Brother Doug talked about, the affection that they would have here, this second one, this second Greek word, that affection that they would have. But there's no intimacy and friendship with the king. But the part of the mystery is that there is intimacy and there is fellowship one-on-one with the king. With God Almighty. With our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am called to make all see what is this fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. God didn't take about 4,000 years, 3,000 years, as we would say in the vernacular, to kind of loosen up and get a little bit more friendly. God has always purposed to be friendly and kind and compassionate to mankind. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Jesus was there at the beginning indeed. Listen, verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. I need somebody that's good at English to diagram that sentence for me, okay? But if I'm seeing this right, the revealing of the mystery of the Lord and the salvation of sinners, not only of the Jews, but of the Gentiles, and then living in this day from the time of our Lord Jesus' ministry upon the earth and his ascension, he had built his church and left her here, and other churches have come from it, that the Lord is using this of the church and this by salvation, by grace, through repentance and faith of all sinners, no matter the color of their skin, no matter what side of the tracks they're from, no matter what their nationality, being brought into the Lord's churches is a witness and a testimony to the heavenly of the mystery of God. God's that wonderful, that good. He's even teaching the angels something. But what he's done with sinners like you and me. To the intent, he said, I'm called to make all men see what is this fellowship, the fellowship of the mystery, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly. All right. So I think that's talking about those ministering spirits might be known by the church. That's the Lord's tool. The manifold wisdom of God. You and I being so vile and so corrupt and so wicked and sinful, we can never have any kind of fellowship with the angels. And understand, this is not our goal. But the angels are holy and righteous, those that are the Lord's angels, those not fallen, but those ministering spirits of the Lord. And I tell you what, at the drop of a hat, they would stand to work under righteousness for our Lord. And for what we understand about the angels, they would be there quivering to mete out the justice of the Lord upon us and our wickedness and our sinfulness and our ignorance. But the Lord says, hold. The Lord says, I'm merciful. The Lord says, I'm long-suffering. And then by salvation in Jesus Christ in time, he saves sinners and he makes us accepted in the beloved. And he says to the angels, if you will, they're my children. And the angels say, agree too, said, isn't that a mystery? Let's read another passage over here. Let's take a look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, the apostle writing to the Lord's churches and the Lord's people. We see this in, let's get the whole sentence. He talks about the salvation of the soul and the joy, the glory that is there, and joy unspeakable, verse number 8 of chapter 1 in 1 Peter. Receiving the end of your faith, verse 9, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. The Lord meted out his word and the truth and the revealing of the mystery as time went on, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things. The prophets prophesying about what Christ would do. And here we are on the receiving end of that. He did that for them, but we're here and we know it. They didn't know about it. They got the word of God as he inspired it, and they wrote, and they no doubt wondered what it signified. David wrote about things in his own life, but they were prophetic in some respects about what Christ would do. Verse 12, and whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Back in Ephesians 3, I'm sent a minister, Paul says, to be a revealer of this mystery of Christ and the salvation of sinners, no matter what they are or where they're from on this earth. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the Lord's church the manifold wisdom of God. The Lord had and dealt with men and their families at the beginning. And then he made his nation, and he dealt with his nation and other nations. We've seen about that on Wednesday, about the enemies of the Lord. And now he deals with the world out of his churches. There's a no greater widespread effect and touch of the world than that. The Lord's churches, really, from the human standpoint, are very weak. Any government comes in beside the government of a church, and it can take and compromise the government of the church. But you know what? It's by the Lord's churches, and he directing them and guiding them in the work and the commission that he's given them to do, that great power is shown by the salvation of sinners and the work of God being done. He's glorified. We're going to see that here. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, that's his tool, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's always been his plan. In whom we have boldness. We come to our text verse. Look at what the Lord's done. Are you bold? This word boldness is talking about being outspoken, being frank, being blunt. You know what? We are not to be brash, but I tell you what, we can be bold because of what Christ has done, what Christ has revealed, what Christ's purpose and work is. We don't have to be squirmish or squeamish about the purpose and work of Olmsted Baptist Church because the Lord has done this for us and given us this. He says, "We in whom we have boldness and access." We've got admission. Not by anything that we've paid, but by our Lord Jesus having brought us. And look at this. I like this. We have boldness and we have access with confidence, trust, reliance. See, we have boldness, access, both of those with confidence by his faithfulness. It's what the Lord has done. It's by his wisdom and his mystery that he's revealed unto us that we have what we have. And you know what? We can rest in that. It goes on to say here, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory," speaking to the folks there at Ephesus, "for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father and our Lord and of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named," the family of God, different than the church of the Lord, "that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." You know what Paul has and the way the Lord's equipped him for this ministry to reveal the mystery of the Lord? He desires that the people of God in the Lord's churches, the church there at Ephesus, to have that too. Listen, that he would grant you, verse 16, according to the riches of his glory, to be, number one, strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Number two, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that you being rooted, number three, and grounded in love, there it is, Brother Doug, and be able to comprehend with all saints, number four, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Verse number 19, number five, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The fivefold fullness of God. He said, that's what I've been given. That's what I've been equipped to reveal this mystery unto sinners, even sinners like you pagans there at Ephesus. And that's what I want for you too. That God would do that for you too. And that you might be a witness of our Lord in this great mystery. It's not a king that looks down on his subjects, and our Lord is high. But it's our King and our Lord that has loved sinners and brought them very near unto him. We're not estranged. We're not afar off. We're not forgotten about and left. Our Lord Jesus tells us, the scripture tells us, he will never leave us nor forsake us. It's a mystery. That God would love the likes of us. But he does. And he has. And he's proven it in Christ. Now unto him. So he goes into summary mode here. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Get a hold of the mystery. Get a hold of the love and the power of the Lord within us. According to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I challenge you to do something with this book. Hadn't seen it until consideration for this message Take a look at the end of the chapters. In your own time, we don't have time right now, but take a look at the end of the chapters and see where the brother lands at the end of each of the chapters, except for the last. And take a look and understand the great mystery that the Lord has revealed unto us in saving us and putting us here in Olmsted Baptist Church. I tell you what, that God would do such a thing. Praise be to His name. Our Lord Jesus, faithful in every way.